Support for the broadcast of Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings comes from Hammer & Weekon, 100 years strong. Hammer & Weekon, proudly serving Petersburg since 1921.
Just before 6 o'clock, beautiful evening here in Petersburg, and we've got a Petersburg Borough Assembly meeting coming up here shortly. It's currently 64 degrees, and a couple of quick announcements. The Assembly meeting agenda is available to follow. It's on the Borough website. It's also on the KFSK website. And Burger Night at the Moose Lodge continues until 7:30 this evening. Midcoff Island AA meeting tonight, the women's meeting. It's at the Presbyterian Church that begins at 7 o'clock. And International Space Station flyby is tonight. Its viewing is available here with our clear skies starting at 10:19 this evening for 6 minutes, moving from the west-southwest to the east-southeast. And that's a big thank you to Dave Berg for that information. Coming up, Petersburg Borough Assembly meeting.
The regular meeting of the Borough Assembly for Monday, July 19th, 2021. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Bob?
Here.
Taylor?
Taylor is absent.
Chelsea?
Here.
Jay?
Here.
David?
Here.
Jeff?
Here.
Mark?
Excused. All right, we have five people present. With Member Mucci phoning in. It brings us to the Voluntary Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it
Item number 3 is the approval of minutes. I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes for October 5th, 2020, October 9th, 2020, certification of the municipal election minutes, October 20th, 2020, special assembly meeting minutes, and the July 6th, 2021, regular assembly meeting minutes. I would entertain a motion to approve those.
So moved.
Been moved by Member Lynn and seconded by Member Tremblay. Before we go further, I noticed, or rather it was pointed out to me, that on the July 6th meeting, it has members, Member Norheim and Mayor Jensen listed as absent, but Mayor Jensen was excused. So if someone were so inclined, I would entertain an amendment to reflect that. Clerk Thompson.
Actually, thank you, Mayor Stanton Gregor. Our new program does not have an excused option. You're either absent or you're present.
We'll let the record note that Mayor Jensen was excused, and we will not need to amend that accordingly then.
Thank you.
Yeah, fair enough. As long as we're keeping things tight, I feel good about it. In that case, all those in favor of approving said minutes, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. The approval of minutes passes unanimously, bringing us to item number 4, the amendment to approve and approval of tonight's meeting agenda. I would entertain a motion to approve or amend.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion been made to approve this. Any discussion on that? Okay, no amendments been made. And that clerk, all those in favor of approving tonight's meeting agenda as is, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that also passes unanimously with no amendments going forward. Bringing us to public hearings, which there are none. And bid awards, which there are also none. Therefore, we are item number 7, persons to be heard related to tonight's agenda. I see no folks in the audience, unless anyone in the back wanted to testify to that. Are there any people on the Zoom call that would like to speak this evening? Clerk Regula.
Yes, one moment.
Not a problem.
We have Tor Benson.
Most excellent. Whenever you're ready.
Okay, Tor, you're on.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Clear as day, Tor. Go ahead.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, well, I just wanted to call and just check in here. I saw item 18, I guess. And I just saw it on the agenda as a discussion item, and I just appreciate it for being brought up anyway. And I had a chance to touch base with Liz earlier today, and she's saying maybe the timeline might not be fixed on bringing that up again. But yeah, I just appreciate discussing it today. And, you know, I think Dave Kensinger was there for the planning and zoning, just the amount of time spent on it. And I think it's an overall improvement of the previous code. And I think it still has some updating and maybe blending that needs to be done to make it mesh well with everything that's going to, maps and state regulations and stuff. But overall, I think it's a good document, and when the time's right, I look forward to it being picked up again. So just appreciate the
Still with us, Tor, or you're all good?
Yeah, sorry, I might have cut out there. But yeah, I was just saying I appreciate the item being brought up. So thanks for the time.
Thank you very much for your testimony. And for those listening at home, if that was cutting out, Mr. Benson was referring to the discussion item B, the planning and zoning code revision. Just cut out a little bit in the beginning. Clerk Regula, is there anyone else who would like to be testifying this evening or speaking to visitors' views?
No, there's no one.
Thank you kindly. That brings us to persons to be heard unrelated to tonight's agenda. Is there anyone in the queue who might want to speak to that? Clerk Regula?
No, there's no one.
Okay, thank you very much. In that case, we're going to bring us to item number 9, executive session. The assembly will adjourn to executive session to discuss the status of the collective bargaining agreement with International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 1547. And before I entertain a motion to do that, for those, if anyone is, I believe Robert is on the Zoom call, if he would wait after we adjourn to this about 15 minutes to call back in to the meeting, and you'd be able to join the regular meeting after that. And if per chance we have not returned from executive session, just try again every couple minutes and you'll be in.
They can actually just stay right where they are and we will be back. We're not turning off.
Even better. So there we go. In that case, I would entertain a motion to enter into executive session.
So moved.
For said reasons.
Second.
Moved by Member Kensinger and seconded by Member Lynn. Clerk, call the roll, please.
Jeff.
Hey, Beth.
Jay.
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
We'll adjourn to executive session.
Support for the broadcast of Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings comes from Hammer and Weekon, 100 years strong. Hammer and Weekon, proudly serving Petersburg since 1921.
All right, they've wrapped up their executive session. We'll be heading back to the public meeting of the Petersburg Borough Assembly meeting.
Nothing on tonight's consent agenda or report of other officers, which brings us to tonight's mayor's report. First one, titled Hospital Input. We are encouraging people to contact our local hospital board or hospital CEO, Phil Hofstetter, for questions regarding the future hospital plans. Community engagement is very important.
Recording in progress.
Recording's in progress, I guess. Community engagement is a very important part of this process. And aside from the written part of that, I really want to encourage all members in the community to reach out to all the players in our local healthcare system, whether it be, the Search Corporation, our local hospital. To put it in a simple way, knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. And I really hope everyone takes the time to invest in our own clinic and hospital. It's that important to our community. Item number 2, we are seeking letters of interest from borough residents who wish to serve the community by filling a vacant seat on the following boards, commissions until the October 21 municipal election. We have one seat on the Planning Commission and 2 vacant seats on the Public Safety Advisory Board. And letters of interest should be submitted to Clerk Thompson at the borough office located at 12 South Nordic Drive, mailing to P.O. Box 329, Petersburg, AK 99833, or by emailing dthompson@petersburgak.gov. And with that, I will turn it over to you, Mr. Manager, for the manager's report.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Local churches have restarted their rotation for Wednesday devotions, and communion is set up for every Thursday for the residents of the manor. Pilings are in place for the new deck up there. Beams are going in, and then decking will be put on. The residents are excited and are enjoying watching the process take place. The workers have many supervisors. Alaska Housing Finance Corporation desk review is complete of the manor and all found to be excellent. No issues at all. And we're preparing for our state inspection on July 19th. The Petersburg Medical Center doctors continue to see residents for routine appointments at assisted living. Mindy and Sheelan continue to meet with Dr. Heyer as the physician liaison between the facilities monthly, and it's going very well. We had another joint meeting last week, and very good. I mean, good conversation between the two groups and other borough employees and hospital employees talking about ways the manor and the hospital can work together. So good stuff. Streets crew has been making some much needed storm drainage improvements at the South Parks and Rec entrance next to the high school. It's turned into a kind of a significant project that we needed to do while school was out and the foot traffic in the area was minimum. We had water coming off the roofs and ending up inside Parks and Rec during last year's heavy storms. So we have redone the storm drain system there, and hopefully that will prevent any future problems like that. Work is progressing on the motor pool shop repairs. The new roof and the siding have been installed, and the building is being insulated at present. The project is currently on schedule to meet the September 30th substantial completion date. Sanitation Department's two new 14-yard roll-off containers have arrived, are in service. These will help address the need for larger dumpsters to serve bigger construction and cleanup projects. We've been asked by local folks if we can get those available, and we now have them. Sam is working with the museum to address long-standing maintenance needs at that building and attending to his regular work orders in the other buildings. Congratulations to Ray, who passed his international code residential building inspector exam. First try him out, and he's moving forward and meeting all the needs that we have for our building inspector and building official. Petersburg Visitor Industry Management Plan was recognized with the Alaska 2020 Planning Award for the Best Community Plan. Congratulations to the Visitor Industry Working Group for their great work. Department of Natural Resources here in Alaska issued a final finding and decision recommending conveyance of 616 acres of state land at Thomas Bay. This is consistent with the preliminary decision reviewed by the Assembly on May 3rd. The decision has a 20-day appeal period. Barring any appeals, the decision goes into effect on August 6th. Since the Thomas Bay property is already surveyed, the next step is for the state to request a title report and draft a patent deed for borough review and approval. Once approved, the state will issue a patent deed. We have no idea how long that will take, but this is all part of the borough land allotment. It is moving forward, although slowly. Alaska Rural Water has completed the sanitary survey report, and the staff is reviewing the recommendations. Rockin' Road achieved substantial completion on the Scow Bay Pump Station project on July 7th. Various punch list items remain to be completed, but the pump station is working well and the site is looking good. Staff worked with Public Works on a sewer issue on Joa Street. Further repairs will likely be needed for a main that is unsupported and floating in Muskeg and is settled in various areas due to driveway installations. The SEPA submarine cable project achieved a major milestone on the 4th of July. The failed cable was recovered and the new cable was laid during the holiday weekend. There's a need for temporary outages on July 21st and 22nd, 6 hours each day, to perform final terminations at the shore landing sites, and then one more in August for final commissioning of the new cable. The diesel plant in Blind Slough will be used to power the community while SEPA power is unavailable to Petersburg. So again, we will have power. It's just be coming from our local sources. Congratulations to Sam Collum, who has completed his training, testing, and required apprentice hours and is now a journeyman lineman. Congratulations to Sam for all of his hard work to achieve his journeyman's card. Carl, how long is that? Is that a four-year process?
Between 4 and 5 years.
Yeah, so it's a huge accomplishment.
8,000 hours, and it depends on where the schools fall, if you can take those and get those done. So
definitely deserves our congratulations. Our mechanic has been organizing the work at Crystal Lake to work on the lake-level transducer, move logs and debris away from the dam, and airlift a new reel of armored fiber cable to the top of the penstock later that week. Petersburg PD received all of the equipment for the new E911 system, currently waiting on an installation date from the contractor. U.S. Coast Guard Lieutenant J.J. Sestero, who is the new Sector Juno Enforcement, which is law enforcement, met with Petersburg Command staff and talked about joint training and their ability to assist Petersburg. Last week, the harbor had a series of incidents that included a large vessel try to sink at the float and then a large pleasure vessel roll on the South Harbor grid. Harbor crew worked overtime and was able to save both vessels. Harbor stalls are full and there's a waiting list for permanent stalls. And Sandy is working on the cleanup of EOC-related work and continuing her support of the pandemic response as the borough's emergency manager. We have formed an ad hoc committee to start looking at specifications for the new fire engine. The fire department and Sandy's staff will take the lead on that and then involve myself or Chris if needed when we get farther into the process. Thanks to the volunteers who participated in the 4th of July activities and assisted with community fireworks show. Wouldn't happen without them. Summer Stream and Bookworms, the library's two summer reading programs for kids, ended July 12th. Participants logged over 1,300 hours of reading and completed 900 learning challenges. Thanks to all of to First Bank and the many other local businesses and individuals who make this program possible. The library's Helmy Jensen Community Room will open up for public reservations later this month. It's been closed for COVID reasons during this time, and we're getting it back open. And the Friends of Library, Petersburg Libraries had a successful book sale on July 3rd. Proceeds from book sales support programs at both the public and the school libraries. And that's it, unless there's questions.
Questions for the manager. Member Lynn.
Yep. Quick question, Steve. What's the status of the maintenance looking at our pool facility with the painting and et cetera?
I'm supposed to have a report this week from the contractor. It was delayed because I wanted to see what costs would happen related to the painting. That actually has been very difficult to find somebody who would actually even agree to even give a cost on it. So I'm not sure what that's going to look like yet. The supplies look like they are going to be here in time, and we've got the work scheduled to be kind of end of August, first part of September. We're going to try and work with the school around what's the best time for them. We don't want to interfere with school swimming stuff, but we'll need the pool, you know, for some period of time, for probably a week each day, to add this equipment in. According to the contractor, you know, they'll need it about 4 hours a day for that period of time. So we'd have to close for 4 hours. The rest of the time it could be open. So they can check equipment and make sure their install is going well. The painting is going to be the big deal, and whether or not we can afford to do that. Anyway, what we can see is we can't find anybody who does that kind of work.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Member Mucci, anything for the manager this evening?
No, thank you.
Fair enough. Thought I'd check in. Anyone else here at the dais? Anything for the manager? All right, thank you, Steve. Much appreciated. There is no unfinished business tonight, which brings us to item number 16, new business. Item A, Ordinance 2021-12, an ordinance authorizing the issuance of electric utility revenue bonds in an aggregate amount not to exceed $7.8 million to finance the Blind Slough Hydroelectric Refurbishment Project and the Scow Bay Standby Generation Project, and directing that this matter be submitted to the voters for consideration the next regular election to be held on October 5th, 2021. Again, this is our first reading. I would entertain a motion to do just that.
So move.
Second.
Been moved by Member Kensinger and seconded by Member Lynn. Well, the floor is open for discussion. And again, for those listening at home, since this is an ordinance, go through three readings and the second one will have a public hearing. The floor is open to the Assembly. Member Kensinger.
If I could direct a question to Carl to ask him to explain, I think what most people want to know about will be the potential rate increases that are within this ordinance.
Yes, I can do that. Thank you, Member Kensinger. So first of all, I do want to talk about the projects because that is really what's driving this whole effort is are the projects at hand. Being the Blind Slough Hydro Refurbishment Project and the Scow Bay Generation Project. Blind Slough has been in the works for about 3 years and started with a detailed engineering study of the facility which led us to the recommendation of McMillan Jacobs, our engineers, to plan for some refurbishment of that, of the powerhouse. Excuse me. The project in total is about a $9 million project. Progress to date has been, of course, the conditions assessment that was completed, as well as initial equipment procurement specifications, and an RFP went out. The assembly did approve the award of the equipment to Gilks Hydro, but that, of course, is dependent upon the financing for the entire project. That's where the bond issue comes in. The project is a large project, but it is very much needed so that we can refurbish that facility and continue to get low-cost hydropower out of that for many years. The Scalabay Generation Project is born out of the fact that we are approaching our capacity for diesel generation in comparison to our peak loading in the wintertime. We're within about 5% of our standby capacity, which is cutting it a little bit too close if we have a really cold wintertime and we have an outage at SEPA. It's going to be very difficult to restore power. And then even if we get it restored, any blips in the system have the opportunity to trip off a generator. If one goes down, they're all going to go down. So it's a very precarious position we don't want to be in. I see both of these projects as being very important. So that is the reason that we're proposing this bond issue to fund them. Of course, if you have a bond, if you incur debt, you need to pay it back. And so that is why we have had a rate study going. I actually started it before the pandemic, but then that kind of got sidetracked a bit. And so we picked that up again. John Heberling, who has helped us in the past, works for DeHittle and Associates, lots of experience in the electrical field, and has helped us in the past, Power and Light, as well as SEPA and other regional utilities, very well known and respected. He's shepherded us through the rate study process, and in consideration of many factors, including a likely increase in wholesale rates from SEPA, the cost of these projects, the debt service, and a capital project plan out for the next 5 years, that goes out to the next 5 years. The rate study has shown us that we will need to increase rates, and this is basically a revenue requirement increase of 9.5% this year and 9.5% next year. And so that 9.5% is focused on the revenue requirements. Not necessarily every fee that Power and Light charges will go up by 9.5%. The overall revenue needs to increase by 9.5%. Depending on how the bond issue discussion goes, the rate study will be finalized depending on which direction we go. Obviously, if we are not able to move forward with the bond and the debt, then the rate picture looks much different. So any case, that is kind of a long-winded explanation, but that's where we're at. Any other further questions?
Yeah, go ahead, Member Kinsinger.
Not to say that I'm in favor of this, but let's say we do not bond to, let's say we just let Blind Slough go away. That's obviously going to cost us money in terms of we're going to be paying more for our power from SEPA than what it costs us to generate at Blind Slough. Have you done any cost-benefit analysis of how much more we would be spending on electricity if we do not have Blind Slough?
At a very basic level, right now, our wholesale cost of power from SEPA is 6.8 cents per kilowatt hour. We can generate power from Blind Slough, and I want to get this right, 1.3 cents per kilowatt hour. So it's quite a savings for 25% of our power supply does come from Blind Slough. So during the project, we will have about 6 months of construction that, of course, decreases the amount of kilowatt hours that we can produce from that project. And so during those construction years, the cost will be 6.1 cents per kilowatt hour. And then, but after the upgrade is complete and we're back on 25% of our power coming from Blind Slough, the cost goes down to 4.6 cents. And that will likely decrease over the years as the project matures. That's what we saw with the current facility. You know, long ago when they spent, the enormous sum of $250,000 in you know the 1950s to work on this, there were some larger costs for power out of that facility. And as time goes by and that debt is retired, we're down to a 1.3 cents per kilowatt hour. So, it's that at its most basic is what Blind Slough does for us.
So just to sum it up, it's going to cost us money to upgrade Blind Slough. It'll cost us a lot of money, particularly down the road, if we do not upgrade Blind Slough.
And bear in mind that the SEPA, due to the submarine cable project, which also benefits Petersburg greatly, that is being finished up here next month, SEPA did incur a lot of debt to take that on, and they will be raising our wholesale rate. Most likely, we still don't know 100% what that will be, but Trey Acteson here was here a couple months ago and mentioned a quarter cent increase to the wholesale rate late this year and another quarter cent the following year. And we'll see if that happens. The rates are probably going up on SEPA side too. So we, at a minimum, need to catch up with that or keep up with that.
So following on my similar train of if we don't upgrade Blind Slough, I know that most of the time when we have to run our generators is when we lose power from SEPA for whatever reason. Now, if we don't have Blind Slough in the mix, then that's also going to require us to up our diesel generation capacity too, I would assume.
Absolutely correct.
Costs.
Yeah, the costs, of course.
And which is about 18 cents per kilowatt hour to produce power out of their diesel plant.
So if I'm not adding these figures up in my head, I'm sure Jody has, but we're looking at substantial savings by undertaking this project versus by not doing this project.
That's correct. Blind Slough does maintain stable rates for Petersburg. There's no doubt about it. The lesser cost of power production out of that facility does help the bottom line of the power utility and therefore stabilize the rates for our customers.
Mr. Tremblay, go right ahead.
My question is, when is the last time we've had a rate increase either like this or in general? Or
the last rate increase was done in 2015, so it has been a few years, no doubt. And at the time, there was not this large of a project in the hopper. And now we've got two sizable projects, one that's very large and another one that is absolutely needed, smaller but still significant.
Emberlyn?
Yep. On the SEPA side of that, it's been almost 20 years plus since there's been a rate increase too. So the rate increase I think Carl's talking about is what benefited us here. We needed to do to increase our facility here in one way or another. Is that correct, Carl?
Yeah, I believe the 2015 increase was just a power and light increase that was approved by the assembly. And that only had to deal with changes in the utility itself.
Right. And then if I remember last winter, we had several days we were getting very concerned about power consumption over the whole grid from here to Ketchikan because we were within a megabyte, I think, or two of actually maxing out SEPA's capacity through all three communities. It got rather tenuous, and so we really do need to keep our generators in very good working order and a little bit more capacity than what we currently have. I think we need to plan for, and I think that's what's in Carl's study. Am I correct?
we'll be planning for keeping our system as dependable as we can. That includes not only to fixing the current generation gap. What I'm calling a gap is not quite there yet, but we want to have more coverage than we do. And also planning for load increases over the next 10 years so that we know, say, in 8 years, if we might need to think about another unit. We have some older diesel generators, a superior unit that is from 1957, a couple smaller Caterpillar units that are in 1970s vintage. And the consultant's going to look at possible retirements of some of those older units and replacement with modern, more efficient, dependable units. So that study, which is also on the agenda tonight, it does directly go into this decision.
Member Mucci, you've been hanging out there quietly. Anything for Carl?
I just have a question. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You bet.
On page 22 there, on the seventh, whereas that we're going down there, it talks about the project would cost approximately $6.7 million. And this is not to exceed $7.8. So I'm trying to, it might be in there and I haven't found it, but where's the 1.5 going to? Thank you.
Yes, that's a good question. Two whereases down, it talks about the Scow Bay standby generation project, and that that project is estimated to cost $1.4 million and in total, and 70% of that is about $980,000. So that is part of the number. And then for the bond issuance costs, there's always a cost for attorneys to review things and for the bond bank to make this happen. That's about $100,000 that we're throwing into this issue as well. And as part of the bond issuance, we need to have some security for the bond bank. And that is in the form of a debt service reserve account that is held basically until the debt is retired, and that the amount of that account needs to be the equivalent of 1 year's payment of principal and interest. And so that's about another $420,000. So that's where all those numbers come together and equal the total 7.8.
That answer your question? Yeah. Answers your question, Member Mucci?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Of course. I'll chime in briefly. Echoing what Carl said in terms of this financial interest of the borough, it pencils out very clearly, of course. And also, though, investing in that generator and re-upping with the blind sloughs, it also provides us energy security here in Southeast Alaska, aside from the SEPA system. Obviously, that's our core, but energy security, especially in those colder months, is important to all of us in the borough. So we'll definitely be voting yes. Any further discussion from the Assembly? Will the clerk please call the roll?
David?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Thank you.
And that passes unanimously. Bringing us down to item B, award recommendation for Scow Bay Generation Design Study. Utility Director Hagerman recommends that the Borough Assembly award a contract to Electrical Power Systems, Inc., for completion of the Scow Bay Generation Design Study for a cost not to exceed $32,163. I'd entertain a motion to approve this.
So moved.
Second.
The motion has been made by Member Lynn and seconded by Member Tremblay. Assembly discussion. Member Mucci, if you'd like chiming in, for give you opportunity, not to put you on the spot.
Not yet. Thank you.
All right, sounds good. For myself, I feel like we covered some of this in the above related thing in Carl's clear monologue and description thereof of what we needed to know. Any further discussion from the Assembly? Okay. Clerk, please call the roll.
Jeff?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Thank you.
And that also passes on a 5-0 basis. brings us to item C, IBEW contract renewal. The Borough Assembly will consider approval of the IBEW collective bargaining agreement. I would entertain a motion to approve the IBEW collective bargaining agreement.
So move.
Second.
Motion has been made by Member Kinsinger and seconded by Member Tremblay. Discussion from the Assembly. Go ahead, Member Lynn.
Well, thanks for the team that put this together. And I believe that listening to the group here, that the negotiations went much better than we had done previously with the PMEA. And I'm hoping that when we return to the table with PMEA, that we have much better and much easier negotiations than we have had to date. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Lynn. I'll chime in briefly on this. Thanks to the negotiating team and IBEW for negotiating in good faith. I think that's one of the key pieces of any negotiation, is being good faith partners. And from my perspective on it, and any of the negotiating team, please cut me off if I'm missing. This contract reflects a great compromise, and any really good compromise, neither party is totally satisfied, but they can work with it. And this contract seems to represent that. And so I'll definitely be voting yes tonight. Further discussion from any other members of the Assembly regarding the IBEW contract approval? The clerk, please call the roll.
Chelsea?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Thank you.
And the IBEW contract renewal passes on a 5-0 vote. Brings us to communications. Correspondence received since July 1st, 2021 can be found on the borough website. The Petersburg Borough Audit Planning Document. The borough's auditors have provided an audit plan for the year ending June 30th, 2021, and that can also be found on the borough's website. Is this correct, Clerk Regula? Thank you. Brings us down to item 18, Assembly Discussion Items. A, American Cruise Lines. This discussion item was requested by Assembly Member Mucci, so I will give the floor to you, sir.
I get the whole floor, huh?
It's all yours.
All right. Hey, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, you know, I've talked to Steve about all three of these items over the last week or so, but, you know, for me, I just wanted to bring up, you know, overall the incident that we had with American Cruise Lines. And just since this was the first incident we've had since the borough's EOC was disbanded, I was just kind of watching it and trying to sort out if I was comfortable with how it all went. At one time, I thought when the cruise ships were coming back to town that I know the passengers were vaccinated, but I thought that the vessel crew was vaccinated as well. And that wasn't the case. I think it's changed now. talking to several people that the crew is now, they are mandating their crew to be vaccinated. So I just think it was, I just wanted to know if the assembly was happy with the way things went, if there are things that Steve would like to see done maybe a little differently. I know one of the concerns I had was that, and this is not to blame anybody, but it took a while for me to get a report from somebody about what was happening with the incidents from day to day. I know there was discussion going on with the hospital and Sandy and probably and Steve, but and like I said, I've talked to Steve about this, and I just think that for the first time, I think it went really well. I think the communication to me, maybe the rest of the assembly doesn't feel the same way, but I would just had liked to been maybe more in the loop as things were progressing, just so in case the assembly was asked to weigh in on something. I wasn't quite prepared at that time, but I think overall I'm pretty satisfied with the way things went. I think it was a good exercise for us. I mean, I think it's a big concern for the community. I heard from lots of members in the community who had lots of questions, and I don't always have all the answers for them, but I can always figure out who to send those folks to. But yeah, I just think it went well, and I think it was a good exercise for us. So that's the only reason I had it on there, Mr. Mayor. And I don't know if we need to discuss it anymore, but that's why I have it on there. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Member Mucci. Just a quick one for the borough manager, like as far as working with American Cruise Lines and the cases that transpired, did you feel satisfied, or Sandy, whoever wants to chime in, as far as the resolution acquired?
If I could, I'll speak to it, and then I think Sandy can provide better detail.
Sure.
So what we're seeing is a transition from a fully, you know, revved up emergency operations center and a large number of people dedicated to that process to where public health and the hospital have taken over, you know, the cases that pop up. So the communication is not going to be as immediate as it was when Carl had a whole bunch of folks, you know, working on it, and they were all working huge numbers of hours to try to keep the community up to speed. So there is we've kind of gone down a little bit. You know, there's not a whole group of people working on this right now. I think Sandy's working hard to get the hospital and public health to communicate stuff to her, so she can in turn get it out to all of us. But there's some wrinkles in how that's working right now. And I think we eventually got there. But again, I would encourage people that have questions to talk to public health and the hospital, and to just say the updates are not gonna come as fast and furious as they were when we had literally an entire team of, you know, borough department heads focused on it, as well as many other staff. So anyway, that's Sandy.
Yes, I had communicated with the hospital and public health nurse about keeping me up to date, since the EOC is no longer. I, as the emergency manager, still want to be involved, and I'm attending meetings with the state, sending reports, things like that, kind of the pass-through person. So I had told Steve that I would keep him up to date on things. So the ship had come in on Thursday afternoon, which was earlier than was on the schedule. It was supposed to come in Friday morning. Apparently they had a sick or a symptomatic passenger who had tested positive on an antigen test, and the ship wanted confirmation of that. So just for people who don't know, an antigen test, if you test positive and you are symptomatic, you are positive. You don't need a confirmatory test to prove that you're positive. If you are asymptomatic and you test positive, a confirmatory test would be a good idea. Anyways, I attended a PMC brief, Petersburg Medical Center brief, at 8:15 in the morning, and that is when I heard about it. So they came in on Thursday afternoon at 8:15. I heard that there was a positive case. I, of course, my hackles went up because I said, oh, were they able to get off the ship? And I was told yes. So immediately I went into, oh no, this is not good. Hospital and public health immediately reached out, or they were in talks with the ship already, because by noon there were three cases and they wanted at least 15 more people tested. So they were on it. They were doing what they needed to do. They are the responding entities. We are not. However, I told them we need to be kept apprised so that we can decide if we need to play a more active role. So I did start sending Steve emails just to kind of keep him in the loop. No decisions had been made or anything, but I wanted to keep him up to date. And so I think I sent like three emails like, okay, this is what's happening right now. This is what's happening right now. But the hospital and public health did a great job. And with that noon or 12:30 meeting that we had, there were many entities on from the state. So DHSS and epidemiology and the state lab and other doctors and public information people and our people and PMC and all the people, all the players were there. The cruise ship industry had several reps on there as well, and they were very concerned about what was happening in our community. They had pondered going to Ketchikan. There was a person from Ketchikan on this call as well, and they were like, yeah, we don't think so. So they immediately made the decision to go back to Juneau and cancel the trip. So they called their people back. Unfortunately, people were already out on excursions and roaming about town, which was very unfortunate. But I think they did a pretty good job. I think the communication went well. I do kind of wish that I was in the loop just a tiny bit sooner, so that I could have notified Steve. And then I guess in the future, if you want to be notified as well, I can include the assembly. I thought my job at that point was just to notify my supervisor, who is Steve, and then he could forward it on as needed. But I will do whatever your wish is.
Thank you for your continued efforts and professionalism, Sandy. It sounds like things went as well as they could have in that situation, at least on our end. So thanks for that. Any follow-ups from the assembly, Member Tremblay?
Yeah, thank you so much for the work you're doing to, this is a new situation, figuring out how to navigate this. Like, for myself, I just wish it could be somehow even faster as we learn all this out loud in real time, because I was seeing, you know, the day that they were still going out into town, passengers from that ship were interacting with passengers from another ship, and all while a third ship, whose policy is still to not let people into town, but we're all hoping that that changes, heard about the news and were like, oh, great. Like, I'm sure our higher ups are very pleased that they've been sticking to this go around. So as we're all trying to commercially make summer the more viable than last summer, and we're so far it's going much better, hearing about this happening halfway through, and it's like, oh no, I don't know what could be changing for the rest of us. And so, you know, going forward, if there's a way to, once some things are known, figuring out how to let the chamber know so they can disperse it from there, because all of us doing front retail life, interacting with folks, you know, immediately as we're all talking about it, we're having face-to-face interactions, and I'm seeing other community members coming in who I know are vulnerable, and that, you know, that kind of, like, that's where some of the disconnect, not even just from assembly side, just from public knowledge side, hoping we can dial that in even more, just because, you know, yeah, if we're going to be, you know, between my paranoia and my allergies, I got a rapid test on Thursday. Otherwise, I'd definitely be wearing a mask here after interacting with passengers from the ship for a day plus. So I guess, yeah, I don't know if that's a question, just more of a, that was my feeling about it for the last week. And as we've been imagining what's next, you know, hopefully this is the last, that's the dream, that this is the only version of this we deal with this summer. And now that it sounds like they might be tightening up some of their own policies, but yeah, just thank you again for figuring out how to navigate through this. And yeah, thank you.
Sure, thank you for that. So I do wanna say that the hospital jumped to quick action as well, and the ship wanted to bring all these people to the hospital or the clinic to get tested, and the hospital was like, no, stay there, we'll come to you, because they didn't want that spread coming through town and whatever transportation they might take. Public health as well, so not only did they bring swabs to test people, but they brought vaccines to vaccinate the unvaccinated crew members that were willing. And public health went along to educate them as well. And then through discussion, when they got to Juneau, they were also met with swabs and vaccines available. So I think all in all, it came together very well. It's unfortunate that it happened in the first place, but yes, I think communication is always the key. And the sooner we can do that, the better we'll be. You mentioned your paranoia with sniffles or sneezes or whatever. I am wearing a mask today because I respond to EMS calls, and I am protected on the calls as well, and I am vaccinated. I'll say that publicly. However, that's not a silver bullet. And so I am trying to protect the people that I'm around just until I pass my little self-monitoring phase. And so the emphasis as well would be to test. Don't just assume that it's allergies. So I don't want everybody to be super paranoid, but I also, because there are sicknesses and allergies that are not COVID, we all know that. But just because you're vaccinated doesn't mean you're free. So thanks.
Thank you, Sandy Dixon. Anything further from the assembly on that? Okay, we'll head down to item B, planning and zoning code revision. This discussion item was requested by Assembly Member Mucci, and we had a caller earlier on, Mr. Benson, touch on it. So the floor is yours, Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I don't want any action on it tonight. I was just looking for an update on where we were. I know it got put in the COVID deep freeze when it came from planning and zoning. I think it got kicked to us from planning and zoning, and I think they were eventually looking for us to kick it out the door. And I was just looking for an update on where we are, what's next with that document. And I know Tor talked about it a little bit. But if somebody could just, and it doesn't even have to happen tonight, but just some type of update on where we are and what is next with that document. Thank you.
You bet. Can I speak to it first? And I'm going to test my memory banks here, and you guys are the one that called me out. If I remember this correctly, it would have been March of 2019. There was a planning and zoning meeting regarding that topic, I believe Member Kensinger was a part of. And So it would have either been the second meeting in March or the first one in April. We had that before us. And if I'm not mistaken, we sent it back to planning and zoning again. How'd I do?
Good.
And you're looking, you were going to speak to it too there before.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to suggest we can have Liz come and speak to the assembly at the next meeting and, you know, kind of give the rundown. I talked to her briefly about it, and it really, they want to regroup and talk about it a little bit and kind of what are the next steps. I mean, you know, so to Assemblymember Michi's point, kind of, okay, what is, now that we've had a year off worrying about COVID, you know, let's reopen the file and figure out, okay, you know, what's the next step on this? And have we rethought any of it? I mean, there was a lot of community involvement and discussion.
A ton of work went into that document.
So, I mean, it's not dead by any means, but, you know, we were not spending a whole lot of time on it this last past year, so.
One second, David. So to put a fine point on it, then more or less the assembly needs to decide to take it up as a priority.
There's that too.
Yeah, Member Kensinger, sorry.
Go right ahead. That's basically what I was going to say, is we need to decide if we want to do this or not. And I was on planning and zoning. That was a 2+ year process of many, many, many public meetings. And actually, my recollection, and I could be wrong, was the assembly actually passed the zoning revision. But then what happened was, when we notified everybody and sent them a letter in the mail and said, hey, your property might be affected by this, then things kind of blew up, to put it mildly. And then it got kind of put on hold. We got a lot of good feedback. I think that's kind of what it took to get people's attention. It's unfortunate we didn't do that at the beginning of the process instead of the end of the process. And I think that's an important lesson when we're, if we do decide to take this up again, is that we notify the community and the affected landholders before we begin this process, instead of sending them a letter in the mail and saying, guess what? I think we would be, it'd be money well spent if we do that at the beginning of the process when we start this up again instead of the end. And that way we can deal with these issues and make it a better document. There's a lot of misunderstanding. A lot of people, and understandably so, it was a very complicated, you know, many-page document that I think a lot of us, even on planning and zoning, had a hard time understanding all the intricacies of it. And I think when people really become familiar with it, they'll see it as overall an improvement. I know some people are going to have some heartburns with some issues, and as we heard, there's just a lot of people that believe we shouldn't have planning and zoning, period. But that said, you know, I think it's something we need to do, because from my experience on planning and zoning, it was very frustrating to work with the ambiguities of our existing code. And I think we're going to be doing ourselves a disservice. And more importantly, I think we're going to be doing the property owners and the community a disservice if we don't address this sooner than later.
Well said. Member Lynn?
I think, though, before we go back into it, Steve, it'd be very good to have a summary of, there were, if I remember the discussions, there were a number of points in that document that were the people that the public had a terrible time with, that were the ones were really needed to be revisited. But at any rate, so we can put us all back into the same frame, I think there needs to be some kind of a summary of what those public comments were and where we were and where we ended up. And I don't remember all the details now.
Thanks, Member Lynn. Yeah, go ahead, Member
Kensinger. Yeah, unfortunately, I kind of do.
me too.
And but I think the major issues that people had heartburn with, we dealt with them at the time, and I think the record will reflect that. We took quite a few motions, quite a few votes. Planning and zoning did quite a bit of the work in that, and I agree with you. We just need to kind of bring us back up to where it sits right now, so that when we put this back out to the community, people can take a look at it and say, okay, well, I don't agree with this now, that they understand what we're talking about. And to me, that was our fault. We didn't make it clear what we were trying to do. And people just saw this as, you know, the heavy hand of government. But actually, my interpretation, and I was pointed out that that was not other people's interpretation, was that we were trying to kind of correct some of the sins of the past. In other words, we had a planning and zoning code in the community, but we really weren't following it. And so there's a lot of misunderstanding from the public on what exactly was in our existing code, and we were trying to rectify a lot of that. And I think if we're going to do this again, we need to ask planning and zoning, as you recommended, come up with a list of things that changed, where it sits right now, and give people enough time. Summertime's not a good time to do it, but sometime this fall, where they can start having some public meetings. Maybe we need to do it at assembly level, because my experience on planning and zoning, people just didn't really listen to it until we'd already made our decisions. It'd have been a lot better if we'd had that input beforehand. So maybe we need to think about having a joint work session with planning and zoning on this, or a public meeting with planning and zoning on this, where we're also sitting at the table, planning and zoning sitting at the table, and then we can invite the public in so that we all have the benefit of this, because it will be contentious.
Further discussion from the assembly on this topic? We'll be talking about it again before too long, I'm sure. That will bring us to item C, affordable lots and affordable housing. This item was requested by Assemblymember Mucci. So once again, sir, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yep. I have to be long-winded here. Bottom line is we need more affordable housing in Petersburg. One of the bigger conversations I have with folks is, how can young people move into Petersburg if there's no places to buy or no lots available? And I think, well, you know, that's a good topic of discussion. You know, one of the things I've kind of on the bandwagon for is, you know, dependable childcare, and affordable housing kind of fits in with that as well. And I think the borough has lots of lots available. I think there's some subdivisions up by Airport Subdivision that could be opened up with helps of other organizations, maybe PIA or Clinkett Haida. But I don't want the community to turn into a place where young families can't afford to purchase a home or move to Petersburg, because the young folks in town are going to be paying more of the taxes than the retired people are. And I think we depend on young families to keep the school systems going. I know people like Petersburg, they'll come there and they'll purchase a home and live two or three months there and then go back to wherever else they're living. But I think the borough needs to have the discussion, you know, again, I don't know if planning and zoning, but with PEDC and with folks in the planning department, trying to make more lands available for people to buy. And I'm not too concerned if we put land up there for community members to buy that the borough might not make a lot of money up front, but eventually once a house gets in, we'll see our revenues coming in from property taxes and stuff like that. So I just want to, you know, there's people talking about small houses and ADUs and things like that, that, you know, could be an answer to some of these concerns that I have, and I know other members of the community have. I mean, there's some forward thinking contractors who put together some homes around town, and they get gobbled up with people who think that's a pretty good deal to come up here and live in a place that's has all the handicap access and it's kind of made for older folks and stuff. But I think we need to really focus on having places for, as one somebody told me, they said, someplace that my kid could come back here and move to and afford it. As we all know, housing is limited in Petersburg. So I just wanted to get the conversation started. I'll probably follow up with it later on in the summer, but I think it's a discussion that the assembly needs to drive. And I think that it's a region-wide problem. And I think Petersburg could help maybe keep that conversation going. So that's what I have there. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Member Mucci. I completely agree. Affordable housing is the cornerstone of many successful small communities. Petersburg, no different. And it is going to be an ongoing dialogue, and there will need to be collaboration with lots of entities in the borough to, you know, move forward on such a complex issue. Did any other assembly members want to chime in on it? Member Tremblay, go right ahead.
I'll be quick. I spoke to most of it at the radio today. As Member Kensinger pointed out as well, we do have land as a community that is uncommon for boroughs in Southeast. So it is, I'm thankful for Assemblymember Mucci to put it on the agenda. I think we need to keep the discussion going. I also see it as very connected to the previous item on the agenda of the planning and zoning, because adding extra dwellings onto already existing properties is a wish that many people have. I know we even, myself, our household, we dream of that as a way to try to lure some of our newly remote working friends to come try living up here with us. What if we had a little cute spot in this corner of our yard, and what if they could come up and stay? And, you know, that's the kind of thing that we're needing to get creative with as a generation. And so having zoning and just basic buildings already reflecting that dreaming, I think would help us stand out as far as future places to go. It's not an Alaska problem, it's a nationwide problem, and positioning ourselves for the future, I think, is only a good thing. So thank you for bringing it up, and I hope we continue to get creative and look to other communities for what they're doing for our possible. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. Other folks are doing really great work. So it's just nice to get creative solutions and bring them together and talk about them. So thank you.
Thanks, Member Tremblay. And yeah, that as a brief aside, I remember some of the tiny house parts being a part of the planning and zoning code revision that Member Kensinger and the commission were working on. Anyway, further discussions on that topic? Brings us to assembly member comments, which in turn brings us to e-recognitions. Member Tremblay, I see that hand over there. Go for it.
Thank you. I'd like to recognize the Petersburg pilot. Last meeting, I had asked CEO Phil Hofstetter about the hospital's budget that they had emailed to us about where the public could see it. And, you know, we found some answers between all of us. Oh, it's in this record. It's in this record. And really, I was just late to reading the last week's paper because it was in the paper. So I wanted to thank the pilot for its essential service in the community for providing that kind of stuff for us. As a source of oversight, it's a really nice companion to everything. And as a part of that, I wanted to recognize Chris Basinger. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Yes, our new reporter. Everyone, he's new to town. He's new to the meeting. And so please, if you see somebody who has clothes fresh out of Texas, now to Alaska, introduce yourself and say hi, and be kind with pronunciations as we like to do things our own way up here. So welcome, Chris, and thank you to the pilot for all they do for our community.
Thanks, Member Tremblay. I'll touch on one real quick. Member Mucci mentioned affordable childcare in town, so I would like to take this opportunity to recognize the wonderful Katie Homeland from Kinder Skog, and I think we all know what that is, but to provide really quality childcare in an outdoor experiential education setting, and seeing efforts she's put into that program over the last couple of years has been truly phenomenal. I see kids around town, either down at the docks, Sandy Beach, Skog Point. People in Kinder Skog know exactly what I'm talking about, and Katie Homeland has driven that, so I just wanted to publicly recognize her efforts. Thanks. Further recognitions?
Mr. Mayor?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, Steve touched on it earlier, but, you know, I think we need to really appreciate all the work that Liz Cabrera and borough staff did on that visitor industry working group. Assemblymember Tremblay and I sat in on most of those meetings, and there's a real diverse group of folks that were in that room slogging through what we could do to make Petersburg a better place for visitors coming to Southeast. We've seen a couple of those things, the notorious restrooms in the borough parking lot, and we have those to thank, you know. But yeah, it was really cool, you know. It won an award, and it was an award for some hard work and dedication by a bunch of volunteers in the community, and I just wanted to say that I really appreciate that, and it's a good piece of positive news for Petersburg, and I just wanted to say thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Thank you, Member Mucci. So with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Member Tremblay, seconded by Member Kensinger. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Passes unanimously. Call it a night. Thanks, everyone.
Support for the broadcast of Petersburg Borough Assembly meetings comes from Hammer & Weekon, 100 years strong. Hammer & Weekon, proudly serving Petersburg since 1921.